And finally, it's time for Our Life Together Among the Works of Art.
You think this show is all about the fond passion?
Listeners, we proved you wrong. This is the show about struggling young writers and their struggles with the English language, a perversely irregular tongue capable of the subtlest tints of meaning, yet mired in a veritable archaeological site of antiquated spellings and borrowings from the many peoples who settled the American landscape and succeeding waves of struggling immigrants with their quaint customs and their ways.
Let him finish.
Thanks. We find ourselves in that other little apartment on New York's grungy lower policed side, on 7th Street between Avenues Y and Z. Here live Butch and Cecily, of course, and now Phoebe, who is hiding from the folks at 5.
Oh, come off it!
They're sitting around the living room, drinking cheap beer, and they're talking about...
politics! It's all political! Phoebe, I wish you could see that the personal is the political, and vice versa on a certain level.
Level 3, ladies' lingerie, kiss and wear.
There's no point trying to have a serious discussion with you.
I was listening, but I'm allowed to disagree.
Hey, listen, would you guys pipe down just a little? I have this big scene on a soap tomorrow, and I just have to get it memorized.
I'm sorry, sir.
The personal is the political, okay? That's all I'm saying. You've got to stop blaming yourself for things and look at the system that prevents you from doing what you want to do. You don't know whether you want to be a photographer, go into publishing, what
you
want.
Okay, I'm not Miss Together, but look at you. You're employed, and where's it getting you? Frustration.
Okay, not much. It's just menial labor. A machine could do it better.
But I thought you saw it as temporary until you could sell your novel and make money.
Oh, sure. Yeah, my unwritten novel. A title and a picture for the jacket.
I remember that scene.
what would I do with it if I finished it? I'd sell it to some pig publisher who want me to make it more commercial. You know, get into the famous author trip, lecture tours, autograph parties at bookstores, TV talk shows. The bottom line, that's where it's at. First, they'd deform my ideas, and then they'd make a profit off the surplus value of my labor.
Hey, look, guys, I don't want to cramp your style, but really, I just
We'll be quiet.
Sorry, love.
We'll be
quiet. You won't hear a peep out of
us. Fine. So what does that mean, excess value?
Surplus value. Haven't you read Marx?
Oh, has anybody really read Marx?
Sure, lots of... Hey, Cecily.
Huh?
You've read Marx, haven't you?
Oh, what?
Have you read Marx?
Oh, yeah, I read Groucho and Me.
No. Karl Marx.
Oh, right, darling, I've tried to, but... Oh, Butch, politics is all a blur to me, you know that.
Right. Okay, well, look, anyway, surplus value is the difference between the value of what a worker produces... and the amount he gets paid. It's the whole foundation of capitalism.
But if they publish you, don't you get royalties?
But I still don't get as much as they do.
But you get part of it. And wouldn't you be grateful to get published? Just to be in print?
Grateful? Because they let me exercise my right to freedom of speech? Now listen, it's easier to see with a different example. For instance, suppose that you were a sales girl in a dime store.
I would never work in a dime store. I can type, you forgot.
Okay, let's take a hypothetical case of a hypothetical little sales girl. Not you, somebody else. Looks completely different. She's standing in a hypothetical dime store, okay? Behind a hypothetical counter.
Saleswoman, and there's no such thing as a dime store anymore, but continue. Go ahead.
Okay, see? Look, I got stuff to do.
Oh, yeah?
If you don't want to have a serious discussion, I can just walk over there and turn on the basement.
Uncontrollable flippancy. Ignore it. Go on. You have the floor. Freedom of speech right here.
All right. Okay. Now... our hypothetical little sales being is working for ridiculously low wages. She's on her feet all day long. She's dealing with all kinds of creep customers. I mean, right, we're talking downtrodden, okay?
Yeah.
And she's essential to the store's business, right? She's the one who moves the merch.
The merch?
As we used to say.
We? Your whole family?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What counter is she in?
Lingerie. Uh-oh. You had it.
Okay.
Now, the boss doesn't want to pay her for the full value of the sale she makes for him, because then he wouldn't make a profit on the store.
Well, that makes sense.
Okay. Now, you with me?
I'm here.
So the difference between what he makes off our saleswoman, whatever, and what she takes home, see, that's the surplus value.
Poor little sales girl.
No. Poor little me.
What can she do about it, really?
Do about what?
Being exploited.
She should organize.
Oh, yeah, right. All by herself.
Sure. Oh, the first one-woman union. No. Look, she should organize with the other workers.
Well, why don't you start a union at the mailing house?
Don't think I haven't tried. But there are three guys who work there besides me. Three, total. And they're more interested in what they're going to do on Saturday night than they are in trying to start a union. I mean, I've talked to them. They say, hey, man, you're right. You're right. I'm going to ask that man for a raise tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning rolls around, and they lose their nerve. They got kids to feed. They don't want to get fired. To them, a union's something you get into if you have a cousin who's in the union.
Well, you can understand that. They have a family, and you don't.
I'm telling you, they got no interest in meetings or bylaws or collective bargaining. They're not...
Oh, I'm not surprised. Who wants to go to meetings on Saturday night?
Don't you have any political feelings at all? You're just interested in cameras? Meetings are the heart of political action. Unless you want to resort to violence.
Oh, no. I saw a cop beating up a demonstrator once. No, that was too... No, it makes me sick.
Yeah, well, look, I'm not into violence either, believe me, but sometimes I think, you know, maybe the autonomists really do have the right answer.
And who are they?
People in Europe who believe in direct political action.
Political party?
No. The whole idea is not to have a party. They believe in being decentralized. That's why they call themselves autonomists. It's a club.
Well, what do they do if they don't go to meetings?
They just sort of find themselves together in one place and then discuss things.
Yeah, they sit in a cafe and have meetings.
They break shop windows.
Oh,
they liberate the merchandise.
That's stealing, not
it's
liberating.
So free.
Oh, so free.
Come on, whose fault is it that they don't have money?
Well, they should get jobs, or...
What are you? A Republican? They should get jobs. They can't. A capitalist system needs a high unemployment rate so the labor force won't make demands.
Please, folks, this working girl is trying to concentrate.
Sorry, Seth.
I'm sorry.
I'm a passionate guy.
Mm-hmm.
When an autonomist takes something from a store, you see, that's not the same as stealing. That's political action. It's based on a philosophy.
Oh, yeah. What philosophy?
If you believe the system that supports a few haves at the expense of a lot of have-nots is wrong, and you're one of the have-nots, then instead of waiting around for the revolution, you just act like the revolution already happened. You go out and you get the TV!
Let's get back to our hypothetical little sales girl, okay? In her little store.
Little dress.
Okay. She should go around shoplifting and breaking windows.
Come on, there's a lot of things she could do, like at work. She could just let people take the merchandise, not say anything, or charge them what they could afford.
Doesn't she have a supervisor or something, or a conscience?
A conscience?
Well, they take lie detector tests at Tiffany's.
We're talking about a poor little sales girl. We're talking about a little dress, you know, little rundown shoes. We're not talking about Tiffany's. We're talking about Woolworths, okay? So we're talking about the notions counter. We're talking about scissors, 69 cents on a little card.
You said it was lingerie.
Whatever!
Well, let's take this. Suppose that this dime store is down south, right? The deep south. And let's say she's the only black sales girl in the whole dime store. Okay, she's their token. All the other salespeople are little old white ladies who go to church on Sunday and have no desire to strike back at the system. They're perfectly content.
This is a distorted example.
Okay. Now, suppose she wants to be an autonomist. She starts out learning about it by writing away from the back of magazines. She finds out this is what she wants to do, and she starts giving away her merch and charging people what they can afford or whatever. But she's doing what she believes in. Okay? You're with me so far?
Sure.
Okay. So the others report her, and she gets put in jail.
Well, as Mao said, a revolution is not a dinner party. End quote. So, she goes to jail.
I don't believe he said that.
Mao said it. It's in the little book. So then the local grassroots movement takes up her cause and gets it into all the papers, and she's a big media case. They have demonstrations outside the governor's office to protest it, okay? We got a martyr on our hands, all right? And then the KKK come and they firebomb the jail. It burns down. She's burned to a crisp. What a death. All for giving away pencils to poor people. She's a martyr. Everybody remembers that she died for the struggle. They put a statue up. They found a movement in her honor, the Hypothetical Little Sales Girl Brigade.
And that solves the problem?
It solves the most basic problem, which is how to give meaning to your life. Throw it away.
I was trying to have a serious discussion with you. I thought you were worthy of it.
What do you want me to say?
I disagree with every single thing you've said, and I don't want to argue with you anymore. I'm going to bed. Good night, Cecily.
Oh.
Are you going to bed already?
I win.
Yeah, it's late. Rhetoric tires me out.
Oh, good night, Phoebe. Are you all right?
Yes, damn it. Was she really upset?
Oh, why should she be?
Oh, Butch.
She's tired, Cecily. I'm tired. You're tired. Aren't you tired?
Sure.
We're
exhausted.
Tired.
Okay. But I have to work on this. I'll be done in a little while. Hey, Butch, come on. Try to be nice to her, okay? For my sake.
I've been nice to her. And anyway, I'm letting her live in my house, aren't I?
Oh, come on. You know what I mean.
You have this thing about niceness. You know, you repress all your real feelings.
I believe in being a little bit civilized, if that's what you mean.
Okay, swell, baby. Look, let's not argue right now. I can't stand it.
I wasn't trying to start a fight, love, really.
Forgive me. I don't know what's happening to me.
I know, honey. It's your job that's making you crazy.
Oh, we've been through that already.
Oh, I'm sorry, darling. I know. Look. Hey, look. I'll quit for tonight, all right? Let's go to bed.
In a little while, there's something I have to talk to you about first.
Oh, sure. Okay. What is it?
It's hard for me to say. I don't want to hurt you, babe.
What? What do you want to tell me?
I'm trying to tell you.
Well, tell me. What is it?
I have to get out of here for a while.
What do you mean?
I want to get away from the city for a while.
Where would you go?
I'm going to Los Angeles. Bernie says he'll put me up.
You mean this is all planned out?
Well, yeah. I talked to Bernie, and I got some money saved, so I think I could manage for a while until I get a job. See, Bernie has this idea we should collaborate on TV scripts. He knows a lot of people.
TV scripts? But you could do that here. You don't have to go all the way to California to do that. There's someone else, isn't there?
No, Cecily, there isn't anyone else.
You've got another woman out there, haven't
you? I swear to God, baby, there's no one else. This is between me and myself. I mean, look, it's something I have to work out.
How can you do this to me? Why? Butch, why are you going?
Don't whine, okay?
I'm sorry.
I should have known you'd react this way.
Butch! How am I supposed to react? Yes, dear, go find yourself. Never mind about me, darling. Oh.
Please, lover.
Don't call me lover!
Please, listen to me! I love you, Cecily, all right? I love you! Believe me, there isn't anyone else, and I'm miserable with you!
God, how can I explain it?
Cecily, I'm proud of you.
Thanks.
I think you're doing a terrific job. You're a great actress. I'm impressed with the success you've had.
I bet.
No, you've earned it. You've earned it, but you're doing something with your life that makes me feel like a failure.
Oh, my God, Butch, this is...
It's not your fault, but it gets to me. What am I going to say? Did you have a nice time performing on the airwaves, dear, doing something important while I was out pushing newspapers around town?
Oh, Butch, don't say those things.
I'm just trying to be honest with you.
Tune in again next time for another exciting episode of Life Together Among the Works of Art, brought to you by the Sirius Magazine Readers of America, the folks who say... Why travel around the world looking for the bluebird of happiness? It's right in your own backyard, between the covers of your favorite Sirius magazine. You know, I bet he loses his nerve and doesn't leave. Oh, the suspense is killing me. This episode was written by Jessica Ramey, and our improvisation company this evening featured
Eve Packer as Cecily,
Nancy Cohn as Phoebe,
Pope Brock as Butch,
and Adrian Cronauer as your humble servant. Music by Maxwell Ramey, technical production by Miles Smith. Recorded at the Acoustiguide Studios in New York, produced and directed by Jessica Ramey.